this each one this morning. Again, we continue to look at why we ought to read and search and study and meditate and apply the Word of God in our lives every day, or why the Word of God should have a prominent place in our lives. We've seen so far we should do that because of what it is. We began last week looking at we should do that because of its design. Again, when God inspired men to write, He had a purpose. He had a design in mind. And the very design of the Word of God should encourage us to make it a daily part of our lives. And I do believe that if we make the Word of God a daily part of our lives, that the design of the Word will be fulfilled in our life. We've seen so far that it was designed for giving life, that is, spiritual life. It's what the Lord uses in imparting life and in the new birth. It is also designed to support that very life, or to sustain that very life. All life needs sustenance. All life needs sustaining. And God gives His Word to sustain our spiritual life. And nothing can replace that. No matter what you try to put in the place of that, it will not work. The Word of God is designed to sustain spiritual life. It is also, along those same lines, it is designed for promoting spiritual growth. It not only just sustains life, it causes that life to grow. And there is such a thing as spiritual growth. And many times people misidentify spiritual growth or mislabel what they think is spiritual growth. But the Word of God is designed to cause the life within us to grow. And there is such a thing as spiritual growth. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 20, I want to look at some verses that, first of all, declare that there is such a thing as spiritual growth. And since there is such a thing as spiritual growth, we that are saved, that ought to interest us right away. We should never be content where we are spiritually, but we should always be interested and always desiring to go further spiritually, to become more spiritually mature. And I believe that's what spiritual growth is. It's becoming more mature spiritually. Spiritual maturity is not determined by the how many years an individual has been saved. Because we all know of individuals who have been saved many years, but it's like they were born yesterday. It was like they were saved yesterday. They have not grown. And there are other individuals who haven't been saved as long who are more spiritually mature than someone who has been saved many years. But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace," the Word of God, "which is able to build you up," that is, spiritually. It is able to build you up spiritually. That's growth. Notice in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, that's a very familiar verse. We've read it a few times in this series of lessons. But in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babes desire A newborn baby desires milk, desires sustenance. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. The thereby being the Word, referring back to the Word of God. We grow by the Word of God. You cannot neglect the Word of God and be as spiritually mature as you ought to be. Ephesians chapter 4. He's talking here in church capacity, but it applies individually as well. But speaking the truth, which would be the Word of God, in love, may grow up into Him. And all spiritual growth is in Christ. You cannot grow spiritually apart from Christ. And the Word of God, of course, brings us to Christ, so that we may grow up. That's spiritual maturity, that we may grow up into Him in all things, not just select areas, but we are to grow up in all things. And our circumstances that come to us in life, they are a good measuring stick of where we are spiritually. But we are to grow up in all things. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians 1, verse 9. Paul's praying, and he prays that their love would abound yet more and more. That's growth. To abound more and more, that's growth. Their love. And then, but it goes on, in knowledge. That is, the more we grow in knowledge, the more we ought to grow in love. The more we grow in love, the more we grow in knowledge. And this is also connected with judgment. Spiritual maturity, just like emotional maturity, it affects our judgment. People can make very bad judgment due to the fact that they're just immature. There are decisions that a child is not equipped to make because they're not mature enough to make that decision. So mom and dad makes those decisions for them. Spiritually, the same is true. There are people who are not equipped to make spiritual decisions because of a lack of maturity. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing. That's growth. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. It's almost scary. Some people who have been saved a long time, been coming to church a long time, it's scary what they don't know. And you say, well, they haven't been taught in church. That may be. I doubt it. But that may be. But really, the real reason is the relationship with the Word of God. That's the real reason, because that's where growth is found, is in the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, furthermore, when we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Here it says that we ought to walk to please God. That is, you do what you know to do. You do what you know to do. If you only know one thing, you do that thing. But you do what you know to do. And if you do that, you will abound more and more. You'll grow. You'll grow spiritually. And again, this is all connected with the Word of God. Verse 10. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Again, growth. Increase more and more. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity, the love one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Again, there's growth. As we get older in the Lord, our faith should not be where it was when we were first saved. Our faith should not have declined since then. But faith ought to grow more and more. Now, there are several things that the Lord uses to grow faith. One, of course, is He uses circumstances, but I believe He uses a combination of circumstances and the Word. You read the Word, that strengthens faith. Then He gives you a circumstance to try that faith, which further strengthens that faith. So there's such a thing as growing in faith. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of these verses teach that there is such a thing as spiritual growth. And the Bible also teaches that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God not just by itself, but the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God as an instrument to bring about spiritual growth. Again, I do not believe that spiritual maturity is found just simply in circumstances, life experiences. Those are included, but it's never apart and never to the neglect of God's Word. Spiritual maturity does not come about from a careless attitude toward God's Word. The very fact that one has a careless attitude toward the Word of God proves that they are spiritually immature. So spiritual maturity is connected with the Word of God. If we go over to Hebrews chapter 5, we closed last week's lesson with this passage. But in Hebrews 5, verse 11 through 14, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. There are many things, the writer of Hebrews is saying there are many other things that we can say, and they are hard for us to say, and the reason that being so is seeing that ye are dull or tired of hearing. You've become tired of hearing, and therefore it's hard to say, he says. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, that is, it's at the stage in your life where you ought to be able to be teaching others the Word of God. But yet ye have need that one teach you again. And the very word again, we always have need of someone to teach us. But the word again means, goes back to the very first principles, the ABCs, which are the first principles of the oracles of God. You never, I mean, we learned our ABCs at a young age. We learned to read at a young age. And you never get past that. You still apply that all through your life. You never get past the ABCs of the Word of God. You continue to apply those things, and they grow. And they enable you to do other things. But here was a group of people who, they were at a stage in their life when they should have been able to be teachers, but they needed to learn the ABCs. They needed to learn the first principles of God's Word all over again because they had forgotten. Not only because they had forgotten, but they just weren't spiritually mature. They had not grown. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He says, what he's saying here is, I would like to feed you with strong meat, but just as you do not feed a baby with strong meat, you, because that baby is not prepared to receive it, he is saying that is where you are spiritually. He is saying, I would like to give you strong meat, but you're not spiritually prepared. You're not spiritually mature enough to receive that strong meat, so we have to start all over again with the milk of the Word. And that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the milk of the Word, because again, we're to continually use these things. But if that's all we're on, is the milk of the Word, that's not good. He goes on and he says, everyone that useth milk, that is, that requires this milk instead of meat, they cannot take the meat, is unskillful. The word of righteousness, for he is a babe. How many people are unskillful spiritually? They're unskillful because they're spiritually immature. With growth comes skill, or the ability to put to use what we know, what we've been taught. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now, we'll never get to full age until heaven. But there are babes, there are young men, there are old men. There are stages of maturity, spiritually speaking. Even those by reason of use, exercise, using what we've been taught, have their senses exercised to discern. That is, they're able. They're able to discern things. They're able to make good spiritual decisions. There are people who will make one bad spiritual decision after another. Why? Because they're not mature. They're spiritually immature. And they'll just make one bad decision after another. And their life just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Because they're not equipped to make spiritually mature decisions. The Bible is designed to promote spiritual growth, to make us more spiritually mature. And it is absolutely necessary that it become, that it have a prominent place in our lives, because that's how we grow. That's why we're to study it. That's why we're to think about it. That's why we're to, and then it comes time, after we've read it, after we've searched it, after we have studied it, after we have meditated upon it, now God is going to give us an opportunity somewhere to use it. And all of these things together promote spiritual growth. We don't read the Bible just to gather information. You don't read the Bible just for the sake of winning an argument with someone. You read the Bible because it sustains life. You read the Bible because it produces spiritual maturity. And it's going to give you, and you're going to have an opportunity to put it into practice. So that is another reason that we ought to be encouraged to read the Word of God. We see also the Bible is designed for producing and strengthening faith. We already read a verse that teaches that it causes that our faith is to grow. But God uses the Bible to impart faith. That began, of course, with spiritual life. He uses the preaching of the Word to impart saving faith. Then he uses the same word to strengthen that faith. Notice in John chapter 20, John chapter 20, and verse 31. And when you think of the Word of God, and you think of all the things that the Word of God is designed for, there is not a more functional tool in all the world than the Word of God. John 20, verse 31, "But these are written," referring to the Scriptures, "that you might believe." These are written that you might believe, that you might have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through His name. Romans chapter 10, very familiar passage of Scripture. If God could have chosen any means whatsoever to save a sinner, that was entirely up to God. But God does have a means of saving a sinner, of imparting saving faith. Romans chapter 10, verse, again, familiar verses, verse 11. "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." That is, doesn't matter one's nationality, Lord saves the same way. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, whether it be Jew or Gentile. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" So there's a problem. There's a twofold problem. They do not believe, therefore they're not going to call. They have not heard, so they're not going to believe or call. "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" They have not heard, and how will they hear? "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, the Lord saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith," talking about saving faith, "cometh by hearing." Not just hearing anything, but by hearing the Word of God. God uses the Word. We've already seen that it is a seed. God uses the Word to impart saving faith. He uses the same word that He used in imparting saving faith. He uses the same word to feed that faith, to increase that faith in the child of God. Therefore, again, it ought to have a prominent place in our lives. Lastly, for today, the Bible is also designed for converting. To convert is to turn from and turn to. God uses the Word of God to convert. Now we know that in salvation a conversion took place. We turn from sin to Christ. There is no salvation without that conversion. There is a turning. Throughout our Christian life, we need to convert all the time. We have to turn from things to things. We have to be turned around. We get twisted in our thinking. Brother Larry's devotional this morning. Very, very true. And very, very sad. Because there is not a one of us who has not been affected spiritually to some degree by our culture in a negative way. We've all been affected in a negative way, some more than others, no doubt. But none of us are exempt. We've all been negatively affected spiritually. The way we worship, the way we view spiritual things, we've all been affected negatively by our culture. Because of that, there is the need of a constant turning. In order to turn, we have to be convicted. This is wrong. And I'm going to turn to what is right. This is wrong, this is right. What does God use to bring about that conviction? He uses the Word of God. Today, God's people are in the habit of fighting against that conviction. They think that's a horrible thing. It's one of the greatest things that can happen to you. When the Lord says, you are wrong. You are wrong right here. That's a blessed thing. And what does God use to do that? He uses the Word. The Holy Spirit within us uses the Word. Now, notice there in Psalm 19, verse 7, for the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It does not say converting the body. It's talking about the soul. It's talking inward. Before we will make an outward conversion that's going to be lasting, there has to be an inward converting of the soul. The sinner in salvation does not turn himself. God turns him. So it is. After we are saved, God uses the Word to turn us. To turn us from our own thinking, because we get twisted. We get turned around. And every now and then, or more than that, we need to be turned in our thinking. And when you get along with God, and you read God's Word, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within you as your teacher, God shows you, you need to turn. And He uses the Word of God to turn us, to head us back in the right direction. We get off course. Happens to all of us. We get off course. The problem is, many stay off course. But if we stay in the Word, I believe occasionally we'll still get off course every now and then. But you won't stay there. Not if you stay in His Word. Because God will use the Word to turn the individual. You can tell in a person's life just how far they go in sin, what place the Word of God has in their life. Because they stay in the Word, you can't go too far. You can get away, and you can head in the wrong direction. But you won't continue that way for long if you stay in the Word. Because God will use the Word to strengthen faith, and He'll use the Word to convert. So for all of these reasons, the Word of God needs to have a prominent place in our lives. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You again, Lord, that You've allowed us to the opportunity to get into Your Word, to study Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for the availability of Your Word in our society today. We thank You, Lord, that You have made it available to us. And we just pray that You would help us to give it its proper place in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.